getting up into the glory world. Amen. Bryson, how about opening the service in a word of prayer tonight, brother? Amen. Amen. Got another one, Brother Jim?
Okay. If you would, turn to page 337. Also, at this time, if you would like a communion set and did not get one, please raise your hand, and Brother Adam will bring it to you. Anyone wanting a communion set that didn't get one? Okay. You out in the parking lot. Go ahead and put on your flashers. Brother Adam's on his way out now. So, page 337.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith by his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. Heaven down to old age all my people shall prove my constant, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still on my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus doth lean for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Jim. All right, don't forget, tonight we have Lord's Supper after the preaching of the Word. searching of our hearts, and we'll go into the Lord's Supper on November the 25th. That's a Wednesday night right before Thanksgiving. We will be having a candlelight service, one of our most loved services here at Charlestown. So if you want to come out and be with us, you're welcome to participate and just share some of the things you're thankful for that God has blessed you with. And I tell you what, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Yes. See, churches closed. I know one church over in Harford County has had to close down because of so many outbreaks of COVID within it and stuff. So I'm thankful that God has just watched us here and kept us. And it doesn't mean that we might not have a problem, but praise God, I'm glad we're able to have church right now. Amen. Yes. I'm glad we're still able to worship. And you know, sometimes we complain about having to go to the parking lot to worship, and then we hear about folks like in China, in different places, folks that are in North Korea. Do you realize folks in North Korea, when they decide to have church, or they choose to have church, they don't only put their life on the line. There's three generations pay for your crime. Did you know that? So if I, as a grandfather, chose to go to church and they caught me, they would punish my children and they would punish my grandchildren because I chose to worship God. And there are people that are still doing this, people that are still, you know, the world and Satan can do everything he can to silence the church, but he can't do it. The church will always thrive if they have to thrive underground. They will be there, amen, and the church is there. So thankful that we have the privilege. And sometimes I got to stand on a wagon. And you all get to sit in your cars. Amen. And I done decided if they decide we're going back, we're building a room out there with some heat in it before winter comes. Amen. And we're going to do something. But, you know, just thankful for the privilege of being able to have church. Amen. So come out for that Thanksgiving candlelight service. It'll bless your heart. And then don't forget Youth Sunday on the 29th. Brother Zach will be preaching in the morning, and Brother Jesse Hanks will be preaching in the evening service, and both of these young men will be a blessing to you. And then we got our ministries nights coming up. We don't know. Everybody, my wife keeps saying, what are you going to do for a Christmas program? What are you going to do for it? I said, probably not even worth worrying about. At the rate we're going, we're not going to be able to have it anyway, most likely. And if we can have something, we will do something. Amen. It might be last minute. It might be ad hoc, but we will do something. Amen. So just chill. And we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it works out. But be much in prayer about it. Amen. God is in control. He knows all things. Amen. So we'll just leave it up to him. Anybody come sing tonight? Scary looking bunch tonight, Brother Zach. You might want to come and get a look at this bunch. You might change your mind about coming. Everybody sitting there all stone-faced and stoic. Come on, Josh. I walked in tonight. He said, can I sing He's My King tonight? I said, well, certainly. Amen. Bryson, Miss Deb, where's everybody at? Levi, you going to join us? You want a hand mic or you want to grab a hand mic? You have to turn it on. Wyatt, you want to try it tonight? Sure. All right, get your guitar. You can stand over. You can watch me.
Number six.
Hurry, buddy. He wants to play. We're trying to help him learn to play. Thankful that our young people do want to be a part of the service. Stand over there by Miss Jackie so you can see me.
pathway shine, mighty is he. Jesus, the one I love, gladly I sing. Praises to him above, he is my king.
He's my king, and reigns forevermore. He's my king, to worship and adore. Oh, I dearly love him, there is none above him. Wonderful is he,
this mighty King of glory.
He's my King, let all the world proclaim. He's my King of royal holy fame. When I get to glory, I will sing the story of his love for me.
I have a Savior dear talking with me. He is so very near, seems I can see. Over life's rugged way, to him I cling. Praises to him above, he is my King.
He's my King, and reigns forevermore. He's my King, to worship and adore. Oh, I dearly love him, there is none above him. Wonderful is he,
this mighty King of glory.
He's my King, let all the world proclaim. He's my King of royal holy fame. When I get to glory, I will sing the story of his love for me.
I have the Holy Ghost living in me. He is my royal host, faithful is he. Filling me with his love so I may sing. Praises to Christ above, he is my King.
He's my King, and reigns forevermore. He's my King, to worship and adore. Oh, I dearly love him, there is none above him. Wonderful is he,
this mighty King of glory.
He's my King, let all the world proclaim. He's my King of royal holy fame. When I get to glory, I will sing the story of his love for me.
When I get to glory, I will sing the story of his love for me, of his love for me.
Amen. I trust tonight that he's your King. He's your Lord, Savior, and you know him.
What key was that?
Hey, in the free pardon of sin. Amen. And if not, before you leave here tonight, that you will know that in your heart, know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord is your Savior, he's your King. Anyone else come to sing tonight or change your mind? Maybe you didn't come prepared, but the Lord just spoke to your heart. All right, open your Bibles with us tonight into Luke. Luke chapter number 22. We think about communion, we always think about just receiving the sacraments that the Lord had prescribed and had given the disciples. But when you examine that word communion a little bit deeper, it's an act or an instance of sharing is what it's defined as. Jesus was sharing something with his disciples that he wanted us to partake in. He wanted the future church to be able to partake in, that we might be reminded, we might be made aware, and we might not forget the sharing that took place when he gave himself a ransom for all. It means, in another definition, an intimate fellowship or rapport. We have a familiarity that is so strong that it binds us together. We have a fellowship of the Spirit. We have a fellowship of the mind, a fellowship of the heart. We know His heart. He knows our hearts. And it also means that we take the cup and the bread as representatives of His body and blood. And we accept those symbols for the realization of the spiritual union between Christ and the recipient, or the communicant, as the dictionary defines it. But you see, it's all about oneness. It's all about unity. It's all about us getting our hearts and minds to the place where we're focused on what He has done. Sometimes we get so busy in our Christian walk that we forget who we really are. We forget how we became who we are and what the great cost really was. You know, sometimes as you go through life and as you get older, you forget the struggles that you had when you was younger. As life gets easier, your way becomes more prosperous. You have a greater knowledge of things, and you don't make the mistakes that you used to, and you're going about life and you kind of forget almost where you came from. Jesus never wants us to forget where we came from. Amen. And what it took for us to come from where we were. Amen. The psalmist said, I was in that horrible pit. I was in that miry clay. And He brought me out and set my feet on the rock. Amen. We need not forget who we really are and who we have become in Christ Jesus. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 15, the Bible says, and He said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. That phrase right there in verse 19, at the very end of the verse, this do in remembrance of me. This is the only place in the Gospels that is recorded. As we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, shortly as we partake, we will see that phrase used several times. But Jesus tells us this is to be done in remembrance. He desired to have that time for Him to demonstrate something that would help them remember. Remember not only this cup and this bread, but remember Him. Remember all that is about Him. Remembrance is an act of recalling to mind a memory of a person, thing, or an event. Something that serves to keep one or to bring in mind something or a commemoration or a memorial. We do it because we need to go back. We need to have something that brings us back because we so easily forget. We have days set aside in our country to remember our veterans. On Memorial Day, we remember those who died, who gave their life in service. We take that sacrifice for granted so many times, and we need to be reminded. So we have a day that reminds us of those who have gave their life, gave their all in service to our country. Our Veterans Day reminds us of all those who have taken on that obligation, who've signed that contract to serve, to give their lives. Once you sign and take that oath of enlistment, your life is no longer yours. You give up your rights. You know, before you go into the military, you have all kinds of rights to exercise. Once you go into the military, your rights are very limited. They're limited to what the government will allow you to have. And people forget that people make that sacrifice. Your life belongs to someone else, and they can use you as cannon fodder, which has happened in war after war. So we need to be reminded of things. And Jesus knew we need to be reminded. So tonight, I want to look at a few things before we take communion that we need to be reminded of and what it was. It wasn't just the cup and the bread. It was in remembrance of me. Amen? He didn't say just take the cup and just remember my broken body. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Amen? Amen? So let's get out of the box a little bit. Sometimes we only think about the wafer and the cup. But Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Let's remember his words as he spent this last evening with his disciples. And we read from the account in John, beginning in chapter number 13, and up to the Lord's prayer there. And this was the Lord's prayer in John 17. It's the prayer that the Lord actually prayed. It wasn't the model prayer, the pattern prayer that he taught people that's called the Lord's Prayer. It was Jesus literally praying for the church. Amen. And all through these verses of Scripture, all through these passages, these chapters, as we read there in John, I think it gives the clearest and the best picture of that last evening together when Jesus is instituting the communion, and he's telling them to be reminded of him. He's reminded them mindful of the time that I spent with you. Be mindful of the things that I said unto you. Be mindful of the things that I'm going to do for you. Be mindful of the sacrifice that I'll make. Be mindful of his words, remembering his words. Remember in John chapter 13, if you read John 13 verses 1 to 17, you get the whole account of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But in a few verses there, 6 through 8, it says, then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I'm thankful for those words of discipleship. If you want to be a disciple of his, you've got to come through the cleansing blood. You've got to be washed by him and made whole and made clean. Amen. And he makes that perfectly clear. And tonight, if you've never been washed by the blood of Jesus, if you've never surrendered your heart unto him and confessed your sins unto him and asked him to save your soul and let the blood of Jesus cleanse you and wash you, you've not become a disciple of his, and it was his desire to do this for you. But then in John chapter 14, we see his words of comfort. The first words that are spoken in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Aren't you glad that we picked the Word of God up? We can read not only the words that are in red, but we can read the words that are in black, spoken by God the Father, and we can find comfort, we can find solace, we can find peace for our hearts and for our lives, because we have a sure word of prophecy, a word that has proven itself true time and time again, a word that is undefiled, a word that has power to change lives, a word that peers into our hearts, into our souls, and reminds us when we're sinners that we need to find forgiveness. We need to come to an altar to find that peace that is made through the blood of Jesus with our sacrifice of surrender unto Him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm thankful for those words. And you go on down and read the first six verses, my answer, one of the most known passages of Scripture in the Word of God. But the words of comfort, you read all through chapter 14, and you find out that He's going to send a peace, not like the world sends, not like the world can give, a peace that's different. It's a peace that brings comfort, a peace that assures you, a peace that brings ease to your heart. In chapter 15, we see His words of love in verses 1 to 17 as He's teaching about the vine and being a part, being a disciple. Amen. Being a disciple, being comforted, how we hear the words of love, and as He speaks these words in verse number 13, He says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Praise God. I'm glad we have the greatest love story that's ever been written in front of us. Amen. And it's a central character, its central figure is the epitome of love. It's the picture of love. It's the greatest model of love that could ever be imagined. And He spoke these words unto His disciples. No greater love hath any man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus didn't want us just to remember the bread and the cup that they were drinking, but to remember Him. His desire for discipleship, His words of comfort, His words of love. In chapter 16, His words of assurance. John 16, 33, a verse I quote quite often. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Man, you want to find peace in the midst of trouble? Go to the Word of God. Amen. You want to find peace in the midst of trouble? Seek out the living Word of God. Amen. You want peace in the midst of trouble? Just get Jesus in your heart. Amen. And there can be a storm raging, and He'll give you peace in the midst of your storm. Amen. He didn't say we wouldn't have to deal with storms and go through storms and face storms and live in the midst of storms. But praise God, He said we can have peace in the midst of the storms, because He's our peace. Remember tonight the words that Jesus said, I have desired to eat this Passover with thee before I suffer. And I believe He desires to be in our midst. Amen. Tonight, as we partake of this communion together, our hearts and minds knit together, focused on one thing and one purpose. His words that touch our hearts so immensely. But not to forsake the cup and the wafer. We need to remember His tokens of remembrance, the mementos that He left us. You know, people go places and they go on vacations and they go. I remember folks used to go and you could buy these little things and they'd take a picture of you and you could buy this little thing and look at it, and people had them on their keychains, and I don't know if they still do that or not when you go places. I haven't seen them in years. But people buy them because they want a memento. They want to remember where they were. Amen. They want to remember the good time that they have. We got some pictures at the house of our grandchildren in the old old time photos and the old clothes. We got some of our grandchildren. We got some of the our children, amen, when they were little, amen. And we have them and we got them because we enjoyed that time together. We wanted to remember that special time that we spent together, and we have them at family get-togethers and family gatherings. People take pictures. Why? They want a memento of the time that the family had when they gathered together. It's something tangible, something that brings us back to a time of remembering just exactly what happened, what transpired when we spent that time together. I love to get pictures taken with some of the preachers that we have. I had a picture taken the other day. Got a picture of me and Brother Jesse Craigle and Brother Robbie Mullinax as we went down and visited with Brother Jesse. I got Brother Ryman's daughter to take a picture of the three of us together, and I enjoyed it. I treasured that, and I'll look back at that picture at times in the future, and I'll go back to that time. I've got pictures of some of the preachers I've taken up the Welsh Track Baptist Church, one of the oldest Baptist churches in America. I got a picture I took up there with Brother Jason McNeese, and I got a picture up there with Brother Jeff Faggart. I got a picture with Brother Jeff Faggart and Brother Jason McNeese up there that we took together. Amen. I like taking preachers, I like to remember the time we shared that a moment in time together. And Jesus, I said, I'm going to leave some mementos with you. I'm going to leave some things with you that you need to be mindful of. And in this thing, you need to be mindful of more than just the mementos. For when we take this bread and we realize that it represents his broken body, we got to remember that it's a token of his condescension. Condescension, coming from a position, from a higher place into a lower place. He came from glory into this low land of sin and sorrow for one purpose and one purpose only. In Mark chapter 10, he says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Amen. We need to remember tonight that this was God that came down from glory and gave his life a ransom for us. Amen. He didn't have to, but he chose to. He didn't have to, but he was compelled to. Why? Because God is love. Amen. And he was willing to take on the form of a servant. That's what minister means. We get to the place where we think minister means somebody that's an authoritarian or a leader of a church. A minister means a servant. Right. Amen. Amen. That's what it literally means. He said, "I didn't come to be ministered to. I didn't come to be served." He said, "But I came to serve." As we partake of communion tonight, remember, this isn't just anybody. This isn't just any blood. This is the blood of God. This is the body of God. Can I get an amen right there? He condescended to take on the form of a servant that he might die for many, lay down his life, give himself a ransom. We remember his life. We remember that he came and he said he came to give his life a ransom for many. In John 10:15, it says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Praise God. He came to lay down his life, but I'm glad he didn't lay it down. And he go on down a few verses further in verse number 17. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again." Amen. Although the body was broken, although he died, and he died, friends, he died. I want you to understand that he died. Amen. He died separated from God the Father, because God the Father had to turn his back on God the Son because the sin of all humanity had been placed upon him. And the Bible says, thou art holier of holier eyes than to behold sin. He couldn't even look on his son when the sin was upon him. I believe that's why darkness fell upon the face of the earth as God the Son died on that old rugged cross. But praise God, he didn't die to stay dead. He died to defeat sin, and he rose up victorious, amen, that we might have life. It was necessary for his body to be broken. It was a man who brought sin, and it was a man who defeated sin. It was a man who couldn't keep the law of God, but it was a man who fulfilled the law of God. And praise God, they laid him in a grave. But 3 days later, he wasn't there any longer. Amen. Amen. 3 days later, he's done brought victory to the world. His blood that was poured out, his blood that was shed, his blood that is able to cleanse us, because it's not just any blood. As I miss Ruby tonight. We sang Victory in Jesus, and she sings Precious Blood. Amen. I like that little one when she sings that. She's got a hold of that. She's got a grasp of that. Amen. She might not understand it completely, but praise God, when she sings that song and she says Precious Blood, it blesses my heart. Amen. Peter said over in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And folks, let me tell you something. Let me just share something with you over here in Revelations chapter number 5. If you want to turn over there, if you don't sit in our adult Sunday school class, just turn over there for a moment. I want you to see something. I want you to understand something. I'm going to read a few verses here. Revelation chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And listen to this. And one of the elders saith unto me, oh man, praise God, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and of the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And look at verse number 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the world. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. But what I want you to see is right there in verse number 6. They were looking for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and they saw the lamb as it had been slain. They saw the lamb that bore the marks that caused the blood to flow. They saw the lamb that had the horror that had been poured out upon his human form and his human body. You know, those scars, those marks are still evident. Those marks are still in heaven. Those marks right now are before the Father. And every time the Father looks at us, and every time the Father sees our sins and we confess our sins, he sees the marks. He sees the scars. He sees the blood. And praise God, because he was willing to lay down his body and to bear the sins of humanity upon himself and pour out his blood unto life for mankind. We need to pick up this cup tonight and drink it. We need to take this wafer tonight and be reminded of the scars that brought our salvation. The scars that bought our redemption are still evident. They're still real. They're still fresh. And all of heaven is seeing it right now, and they can proclaim a glory, glory, glory unto the Lamb, because he was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. And communion's an exciting time. Brother Jim sings that song for me every now and then. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. When you grasp that tonight and you pick up that cup and you pick up that wafer, amen, it'll bless your heart to know nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. No one was ever to do for you what the Lord would do for you. Remember his words. Remember his sacrifice. Remember his promise. He's coming for us. He's coming back. Amen. Over there, back in John chapter 14, he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Amen. I don't know when he's coming, but I'm telling you what, we're seeing the world stage set. Amen. We've just seen the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church publicly declare that there's a place for the homosexuals in the church. We've seen him publicly declare that you can be an atheist. You don't have to believe in God to go to heaven. This isn't conjured up. These are statements that he actually made within the last 2 weeks. Amen. We see the great whore of Babylon getting ready to take her place on the stage of a one world government. Amen. And seize that opportunity to deceive the nations. If you don't see it, you're missing. That's right. The Bible says it's going to happen. Right. We see things in place, and there's all kinds of conspiracy theories. They're not conspiracy theories. They're just prophecies being fulfilled. Amen. That are leading to the one world government. Friends, it's a scary time to be alive. But to the child of God, it's an exciting time. You know why? Because that means Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. And he's coming sooner than you think. We're planning down the road for long-term strategies, and he said, tarry till I come. And I believe he knows that we need to go about life until he comes. Tarry till I come. Amen. But praise God, he's coming. We don't know when. He says he's coming like a thief in the night. Amen. You don't know when the thief is coming. He just shows up. Amen. Sometimes he comes and goes and you don't even know he'd been there. But he's coming. There's going to be some that are going to wonder what happened. Amen. The church is going to be going. He promised that he's coming for us. He promised that he would comfort us. And as troubled as people are in the midst of everything that's going on, look to Jesus. Amen. He'll comfort your heart. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Well, I thought he was sending the Spirit. Well, the Father, Son, and the Spirit are one. Amen. They're one. They're three distinct personages of the Godhead, but they're one. So I don't understand that preacher. I don't either. One day I will. Amen. In heaven, I see them praising God who's on the throne. There in chapter 5, down in verse, probably down around verse 13, I think it is. They're praising the one who sits on they're praising God on the throne. But they're praising the Lamb. Amen. If he wasn't God, that would be idolatry in heaven. And I guarantee you there is no idolatry in heaven. Amen. Amen. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. And I've never met a man that can. All I can say, it's God. Amen. It's God. But he said he would come and comfort us. He would be our comforter. People are trying to find comfort in everything but him. You won't find comfort anywhere but in the safety and in the care of Jesus. He said there in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I'm at peace with it. Amen. I'm at peace with it. There's no need to fret and worry about it. I go on, I'll tarry till he comes, but when it happens, it happens. People are so worried about dying. Amen. We got a disease running around right now that has a 99.9% survival rate, and people are worried about dying. Christians are worried about dying. Do you realize the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Amen. It don't get worse, folks. It gets better. Amen. Now, none of us are in a hurry to go, I don't guess. Even though some that got a vision and got a glimpse into the glory world wish they could go on. But the Apostle Paul said, I wished I was there, but the Lord says, I need to be here. Amen. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Find peace with that. Amen. Come to terms with that. If you're a child of God, you have nothing to fear. Amen. You ought to be at peace in the midst of all that's going on, all that's happening. You ought to just look back and say, well, when it comes, it comes. When it happens, it happens. Hallelujah. I'm going home. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to get better. I'm glad with what he's given me. I'm glad with what he's allowed me to have. But praise God, I'm looking forward to what he has in store. Man, he's blessed me tremendously down here. He's blessed me through injury. He's blessed me through sickness. He's blessed me through loss of loved ones and everything else. But one day, I'm going to get to see him. One day, I'm going to get to enjoy my time with him. And as we prepare to take of communion, let's remember that our Lord left us instructions to do this. We don't know exactly what he's doing and when he's going to do it. But praise God, we know that we're looking forward to him doing whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. And as we partake of the communion tonight, let's let our hearts and minds remember him and remember the sacrifice that he gave. Everything he surrendered to give us everything. Everything he gave up that we might have it all. He suffered, bled and died. He spoke words of peace and comfort and assurance. He promised us he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even into the end of the age. Amen. Let's not remember just we're going through this ritual. Let's remember him. Amen. Let's remember Jesus. And as we remember Jesus, I want to make you mindful of a few things. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, for I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We stand to our feet tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, the altar open. As you examine your heart tonight, I wonder if perhaps there's something that you need to come and you need to leave on the altar. I wonder, as you examine your heart tonight, where you're sitting, maybe there's something that you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of and to seek the Lord's forgiveness in. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Right now in this moment, no one is looking around. Trust tonight everyone has had adequate time to examine your hearts, examine your lives. You may be seated if you wish. We trust everyone got a communion set as you came in. Anyone that didn't get one that needs one before we start. It's the first time we've done these, but there are two parts. There's a little tab on top. You take it first and pull it back, and it'll reveal the wafer. The Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Father, as we prepare to partake of this bread tonight, let us remember you, your sacrifice, your broken body, how you were willing to lay down your divine nature in so much that you bore the scars, you bore the reproach of our sin in your own flesh. Scars so deep, scars so horrible that they're still evident and visible in heaven today. Lord, help us not to forget the great sacrifice that was made that we might have eternal life. We take this tonight in your name. We take this tonight thanking you for all that you've done. We say amen. Pull the second tab up, it will open the cup. The Bible says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, again tonight as we partake of this cup, mindful of the blood that was shed, every drop poured out, every drop shed, every bit able to do what the blood of bulls and goats was unable to do, to take away the sin of the world. One sacrifice once and for all. One blood that was shed that could do what none other could do. We thank you for shedding it for us. Lord, help us never forget your great love, your great sacrifice, and your great pain that you suffered to bring redemption unto mankind. We thank you for this cup tonight, and we ask it in your name. Say amen. Stand to our feet tonight. Matthew 26, verse 30 says, they sung a hymn and then they went out. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Folks, we'll have a trash can sitting in the back. If you would take your communion set with you and throw it in the trash on your way out, we would appreciate that. Thank you for being with us tonight. And we trust that the service has blessed you tonight. I'm always blessed at communion, and I'm thankful for the great sacrifice that my Lord has made for me. Amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, come back, be with us. And Brother Zach, good to see you tonight. Amen.